An annual water quality report by the environmental group Save the Sound has found the Long Island Sound has gotten healthier since last year. Long Island Soundkeeper Bill Lucy credits Connecticut and New York for getting major water pollution issues under control.
The problem now is us. A lot of the nitrogen imports to the Sound are from individuals. We're driving cars, so our exhaust is putting nitrous oxide up in the air. We have our individual septic tanks, which are leaching nitrogen into the ground, nitrates. We have fertilizer on our lawns.
Nitrogen pollution creates algal blooms that starve the ocean of oxygen. This leads to fish kills and shellfish die-offs. The problem is worse in the harbors of dense waterfront communities like Bridgeport and Huntington that are far from the ocean to flush them out. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Connecticut lawmakers will deal with the high cost of energy in an upcoming special session. Farm workers in Suffolk pressure winery owners for a new contract with their union. And there's a potential conflict of interest in the construction of the State Pier in New London. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Connecticut lawmakers are to return to the state capitol after Thanksgiving for a special session. Their agenda will include taking action to help low-income residents afford the high cost of energy this winter. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
2 years ago, Connecticut spent $134 million on the state's low-income home energy assistance program, LIHEAP. It's only funded $102 million this year. House Speaker Matt Ritter says that's why legislative leaders will take action to close the gap during their special session next week.
We are going to appropriate $32 million to get that program back up to historic levels to help people with heating assistance and oil and stuff like that.
Ritter says they anticipate that not all the state money might be spent. That's because they expect Congress to also increase federal dollars to the program.
We put a placeholder down to let people know you will have additional help. The question is going to be federal or state dollars.
Lawmakers also expect to use the special session to take action on increasing funding for Hero Pay. That's the one-time payment to eligible frontline workers during the COVID-19 pandemic. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A union representing about a dozen farm workers and their supporters protested outside of Pindar Vineyards outlet store in Port Jefferson over the weekend. They want to pressure winery owners to negotiate a contract with their union. WSHU's J.D. Allen was there.
None of the farm workers joined the picket line on the busy main street. Under a 2020 state law, farm workers are now entitled to a day of rest each week. The farm workers used up their day off during the week due to heavy rains. Yamira Frankie, the lead organizer for Local 338, says that farm workers don't want people to disrupt their employer with boycotts, but to give them a seat at the table.
We've been attempting to negotiate a contract for these workers at Pindar Vineyards for over a year. Unfortunately, they're not negotiating in good faith. And it's not our negotiation, it's the workers' negotiation. So our fight is their fight.
The union wants more sick time and days off, workers' compensation, and health insurance. Winery co-owner Alitha Damianos Conroy directed questions to her lawyer, but called the protesters untruthful. Spanish-language media Tuprensa Local reports if the parties fail to negotiate, a third-party mediator will be chosen. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
The Long Island Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame will open its first physical location in Stony Brook on Thursday. The exhibit features replicas of popular music venues and shows videos of artists performing. It also recognizes over 120 inductees from Brooklyn, Queens, Suffolk, and Nassau County, including Joan Jett, Billy Joel, and more. Ernie Conadeo chairs the Hall of Fame.
I think that visitors are going to be shocked at how much talent emanates from Long Island. We are a hotbed of creativity.
The space is designed by Kevin O'Callaghan, who's known for his iconic popcorn trophy for the MTV Movie Awards. To find out more, visit limusichalloffame.org. Lawmakers say they have some questions as to how construction company Kiewit came to be one of the primary contractors on the State Pier in New London. That's after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The proposed sale of Sikorsky Memorial Airport to the Connecticut Airport Authority will not move forward until at least early next year. Hearst Connecticut Media reports an environmental analysis of the Bridgeport city-owned property in Stratford and a federal audit required to set the price of the sale are to blame for that. Mayor Joe Ganim's administration aimed to wrap up negotiations and forward the terms to the city council before 2023. The delay might have an impact on the municipal budget that anticipated $4 million from the deal. Members of New York's Redistricting Commission have started work on the new state assembly district lines due in fewer than 2 weeks. Commissioners plan to meet on December 1st, a day before the draft of those new maps are due. Spectrum News reports they'll vote to accept the plans so public hearings can be held around the state early next year. It'll be the first time the commission has met since last winter. Earlier this year, a state Supreme Court judge invalidated the assembly maps because lawmakers failed to follow procedures outlined in the state constitution. The appellate court will consider whether to allow an appointed special master to draw the lines. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong has launched an investigation into Optimum Altice for misrepresenting its internet services. Tong's announcement today comes after receiving over 500 consumer complaints about slow internet and hidden fees going back to 2017. Some consumers have reported internet speeds as low as 16 megabits per second, far below the internet speed they paid for. Consumers say they were also charged for assistance services despite their internet problems not being resolved. Andrew Brown is an investigative reporter with the Connecticut Mirror. He spoke with WSHU's Ebang Udama about his article on how the manager of the Connecticut State Pier in New London recommended itself for $87 million in contracts.
This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. You can read the stories we feature at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Andrew, the State Pier in New London is being developed to operate as a launching point for offshore wind turbines in the Atlantic. Why are lawmakers concerned that there's a potential conflict of interest there?
What's been uncovered through some public records is kind of the system and the management of how that new pier is being built. There was a company back in 2020 that was selected to be the manager of the construction effort down there, which was going to be a multi-million dollar build. That company, Kiewit, was also given the ability to essentially bid on subcontracts under the project. What our reporting shows is that the company is being paid to be the construction manager. And in doing so, they've also recommended themselves to the Port Authority for five different subcontracts under the project that are worth $87 million or so. This was kind of known within the Port Authority prior to these records coming out, but I don't think lawmakers fully understood how the bidding process worked down there and who was, I guess, holding the reins of that construction project. After I showed lawmakers some of these records, they said they had some questions in regards to how Kiewit came to be at one of the primary contractors on that project.
Now, Kiewit submitted bids that were the lowest bids on these contracts. Is that why they ended up winning those bids for the subcontracts? Or what was the situation here? What did you find out?
So in three of the five subcontracts that Kiewit won, they were the lowest bidder, according to the records that I reviewed. There were two instances, however, for two contracts that were worth a combined 40-something million dollars, that Kiewit came in as the second lowest bidder on price. Yet, after reviewing all of the bids, Kiewit employees went to officials at the Port Authority and at DAS and the State Office of Policy and Management and sought to convince them that the company that submitted the lowest bid,
JT Cleary, is that?
That's correct.
Yeah.
JT Cleary would not be the best selection for those jobs. Kiewit, unlike other bidders in the process, had direct access to people at the Port Authority because they were the construction manager, and their job was to scrutinize and review the offers that were submitted by other companies. So it placed them in this, looking back, kind of awkward situation in which they were telling the Port Authority to set aside another company's bid. And if the Port Authority did that, the primary beneficiary of that decision would be Kiewit itself. And so they ultimately convinced the Port Authority to select them for those two contracts over J.T. Cleary, again, which was a 40-something million dollar win for Kiewit.
Now, what did the J.T. Cleary do? Did they complain about this? And what was the involvement of then the construction manager, for the person in charge of state constructions at the time, Diamantis? What was his involvement in all this? Because he's under federal investigation right now.
Yes, J.T. Cleary in internal emails complained that Kiewit was essentially pushing them out of the Pier project unfairly. They suggested that Kiewit was not negotiating in good faith with them to formalize one of these subcontracts. And as a result, J.T. Cleary's president at the time actually withdrew the bids in protest, the two bids that they submitted. I tried to call that individual. He declined to comment for my story, but the emails clearly show that J.T. Cleary thought they were being unjustly terminated from the project.
And now, what was the position of Kostas Diamantis? At the time that this was going on, he was in charge of state constructions, and he's under federal investigation right now.
Right.
Was there any involvement? Was he involved in this in any way?
The emails that I received from the Port Authority clearly show that Kiewit involved Mr. Diamantis in this decision-making process. There are emails in which Kiewit employees essentially argued to Mr. Diamantis and other officials at the Port Authority that they were a better selection for this job and they were ready to perform the duties of those subcontracts immediately if they were hired. I have no indication from the emails that I received whether Mr. Diamantis ever responded to Kiewit in writing or how he kind of handled that situation. I called him for the story that I wrote, and he directed me to speak with the Port Authority chairman, Mr. David Corris.
Now, what does the Port Authority have to say about this?
They say everything was done fairly and by the rules. They gave Kiewit this ability, so it was legal to allow Kiewit to both be the construction manager and a subcontractor on the project. And they argue that Kiewit winning the bids was not a conflict of interest, because they also had another consulting firm by the name of AECOM that scrutinized Kiewit's decisions and recommendations and ultimately made the final recommendation to the Port Authority Board. So their argument is that there was essentially a second level of review being done on top of what Kiewit recommended.
The Port Authority says there is no problem with the process the way it is right now. What are we going to see going forward? There's some Republican lawmakers who are very concerned about this. What is likely to happen?
I really don't know. I mean, there's likely to be discussion at the State Bond Commission, which is chaired by the governor and has Republican lawmakers who sit on it. And it would be a subject of debate there if the Port Authority has to come back in and ask for more money from the state. At the same time, Republican lawmakers are considering asking the State Contracting Standards Board, which has some oversight of the Port Authority, they are considering asking them to take a look at Kiewit subcontracts to see if everything was done in conjunction with the purchasing rules and with state law.
So the bottom line, there are concerns about how the State Pier project is being executed.
I think that's an understatement, but yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Andrew. Andrew Brown is an investigative reporter with the Connecticut Mirror. His article is on how the manager at the Connecticut State Pier in New London recommended itself for $87 million in contracts. I'm Ebong Udama.
Thanks
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or take us on the go with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this, it's all made possible thanks to the generous support of our listeners. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.